So anyway, but great to see everybody here today. And again, on behalf of myself and my dear wife, Lori, and everybody, thank you so much. Everybody here today and all the saints listening online, welcome. And what a blessing it is that we can all participate in each other's edification and the fellowship, the love, the joy that we all share together because of what God's grace has done in each and every one of us and will continue to do in each and every one of us. So thank you so much for being a part of the ministry here. Let's see. Open your Bibles to Romans 12, Romans chapter number 12. I'm going to read several passages here. And does everybody get that handout there? I'll explain that here in just a moment. So Romans 12, look at verse 13. Romans 12:3. It says this: "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think." Now that's where most people stop. They come to church and then they don't think. But anyway, it doesn't stop there. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You see that there? We'll come back to that verse here in just a few more minutes. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Hold your marker there in Romans. Look at Ephesians 4. And look at this passage here. Ephesians chapter number 4. And then at verse 13, Ephesians 4:13, it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a," what's it say there? "Perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You see how there's a reference to a certain measure? And what is the measure? It's the stature of the fullness of Christ, that sound doctrine being formed in us. And it's defined as a perfect man, right? Okay, if you'll look with me to Colossians 1. Look over to Colossians chapter number 1. And notice verse 28. Colossians 1:28. And he says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may," what? "Present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." You see that there? Then if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians 13. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me see if I have the right verse here. I don't think I do. Let's see. Yeah, verse 9. Verse 9, here it is. He says, 2 Corinthians 13:9, he says this: "For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your," what's it say there? "Your perfection." Everybody see that there? And then, of course, if you look over to 2 Timothy 3, look over to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be," now what's the next word there? Perfect. Everybody see that there? And it says, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word today. And for all the time that we've been able to spend in your word together as the local assembly or online through the Zoom Bible studies, and then personally, each and every one of us individually in the study of your word for this last year, and the growth that we have all enjoyed as a result of that. And Father, as we say goodbye to this current year and then are embarking now upon a new year, at least in terms of the calendar, Father, we ask that what these verses convey to us about your desire for us, that is even our spiritual perfection, our growth, our maturity, that each and every one of us would set a course to have that to be a reality and to continue to be a reality in each and every one of our lives. That we might take just a few minutes today to, with clear, objective thinking, think soberly about where we are in our edification, and then set an intention and a purpose to grow. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask this because we know this is what you desire for us. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Let me kind of chart something on the board here and just mention something about that handout that you have there. The last two Zoom studies, the Tuesday and Wednesday night study we did by Zoom, I had put together a series of questions and answers. My throat was pretty raw, so Tuesday night I just didn't want to take a lot of time to do all the talking. So I put together a bunch of questions. I sent it out to everybody, and a lot of people participated, and they actually did the teaching. And I just kind of officiated whatever, and then we continued that on Wednesday. But the second part, or page two of that handout, is what you have. Okay, we technically didn't actually get to it because we ran out of time. And the more that I thought about this and this idea of actually putting this together, I thought, you know, we're going to do that here at church today. Okay, so many of the folks that are listening on the internet, you actually have, if you're part of the Tuesday and Wednesday Zoom Bible studies, you folks that are listening on the internet, you have this handout. It's page two of that handout. Okay, so many of y'all, I think, here saw this already as well. Okay. And if you did not receive that handout online and you'd like to get it, you'll have to email me or text me or something. I'll get it to you. I can't get it to you right now. I'm not that sophisticated, by the way. I know there's a way to do it. I just don't know how to do it. Okay, but maybe take a picture of it and snap it out, something like that. But anyway, that's what this handout is from. Okay, and I'll give you some more details about what we're going to do then, talk about this morning. But let me begin this way. Think with me about Paul's epistles, the sequence of Paul's epistles in your Bible. When you go from Romans, and then you go really all the way through Philemon, what's actually happening there spiritually wise? What's happening? Yeah, that is you're going through the sequence, but that line is crooked, right? Does that mean I'm going downhill? As Big John Lander would say, you're on short final. So anyway, forget the line, would you? Okay, even if it is crooked, but just understand this: is that when you're reading in Paul's epistles and you're going Romans, then what comes next? Let me do it. So you go Romans, then what comes next? So you've got 1 and 2, Corinthians. Okay, then what comes next? Okay, now you've got Galatians. Then you got Ephesians. Then you got Philippians. Colossians. Okay. You got 1 and 2, Thess. Okay. Now those are to the churches. And then, of course, you have the pastoral epistles. You've got 1 and 2, Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon, okay? So think about it this way, is that when you're reading through Paul's epistles and that sequence, what's happening is that you are taking on board in your soul the sequence of divine information that God uses to produce Christ in you, doctrinally. When you look back at the passage in Ephesians 4... go back to Ephesians chapter number 4 and then get Galatians 4. Get these two passages here. Galatians 4 and Ephesians 4. And look at these two passages here. There are two phrases. And get 2 Timothy chapter 1 too. How's that? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Okay, now watch these three. Watch these phrases. Let's start with the one in 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, and it's going to be verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13, it says this. Hold fast the form of sound words. Everybody see that phrase there? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about that for a moment. You see the idea of sound. He doesn't mean sound in the sense of you're making too much noise, but sound in the sense of what? What's that? The purity, right? Sound. If you say that guy is sound in mind and body, what are you saying? You're not talking about me, but what, okay, it's a joke. But they're what? They're clear thinking. So when the Apostle Paul talks about sound words, they're words that are pure. They're words. Think about the word fidelity. A pure sound, fidelity, right? Faithful. So sound words, words that will produce what they're designed to produce, all right? And that verse says, hold fast the form of sound words. So how many of y'all have been involved in any kind of construction at all? Well, a lot of people here. So your idea of, you understand the idea of a form. When you're going to go out and build a house, you got to build a form. You're going to pour the concrete into the form. So Scripture, the Apostle Paul there talks about, there's a form of sound words. There's a building process that's going to happen. And there's words that are going to produce in you sound doctrine. Doctrine that's pure, holy, things like that. Well, if you'll look with me to Galatians 4. Look at Galatians 4:19. Look at this phrase here. It says this, my little children... Galatians 4:19, it says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ, and then what does it say? Be formed in you. What happens is that when you get saved, Christ comes to indwell you, and then as you study God's Word, you learn God's Word, you're taking God's Word in you, Christ is being formed in you. That's what sound doctrine is. As you put sound doctrine in you, Christ is being formed in you. Go with me to Ephesians in chapter number 4. We read this verse a few moments ago. Look at Ephesians in chapter number 4 once again. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4:13 says this. Verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Okay, what does that phrase sound like? The unity of the faith. The faith has a unity to it. It's a sum total complete package, as it were. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? To a perfect man. Now he's going to tell us what that means. Unto the measure of what? The stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, I'll use the illustration of construction. If you've ever been involved in construction of any kind, you understand what a tape measure is. You take that tape measure, it's the standard by which you can measure whether you're supposed to cut a 2x4, 6 feet or 12 feet or whatever. All right, you can measure the opening for the door, the opening for the windows, whatever it might be. And you can see in that verse, what is the measure in the verse? What is it? It's the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the tape measure, as it were. So as we study God's Word, and we take God's Word rightly divided, and in our language in the King James Bible, as we take God's Word rightly divided and we build it into our soul, what's happening in our soul is Christ is being formed in us. We're being built up in the doctrine. We're being built up in the faith. And the measuring stick by which we are able to measure where we are in the building process is the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me ask it this way, and this will be the title to the message. I know I have a marker around here. This will be the title to the message. Here it is. There's the question. I'll go like that. What is the goal? Say it loud. We read all those verses, okay? And it's spiritual perfection, right? Now understand that when we talk about spiritual perfection, we're not talking about sinless perfection. What we're talking about in the Scripture, when Paul says then that he wants to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Those verses, remember, in Ephesians that we read. And Paul says, this we desire, even your perfection, that we may present every man perfect. That what he's talking about is sound doctrine in us, and then we're functioning consistent with that level of sound doctrine in us. That make sense? Let me use an example. Look with me to the book of Philippians. Go with me to Philippians here. Watch this. Look at Philippians in chapter number 3. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Paul says, I'm going to start at verse 12. Philippians 3:12. Watch what he says. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. That's kind of an interesting statement for him to make. For Paul to acknowledge that he's not already perfect. Would it be fair to say that spiritually speaking, Paul was probably way further along in edification than we are? Interesting. He says, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see what he's going up there? He's as he said in Romans 12 there, we are to think about ourselves, but we're not to think about ourselves more highly than we ought. We're not to use human viewpoint when thinking about ourselves. We're to think about ourselves soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given to every believer the measure of faith. Question, what is the measure of faith? It's the Word of God rightly divided. Let me say it a different way. Let's say that we all were going to go work on a construction crew. And let's say that we all were going to be involved in that part of the crew that was going to be putting up the 2x4s to build walls. And let's say we go and they give us all a tape measure. What are we all correctly going to assume about the tape measure that we all got? That they're standard. That an inch is an inch on all the tape measures. God has given to every single believer the same tape measure. We all have the same measure of faith. It's the Scripture. It's the Word of God rightly divided. He doesn't give to one person, I'll give you 10 ounces of measure of faith. Over here, I'll give you 15 or 20 or 30. But John, I'm going to give about 2, whatever. No. People will totally misunderstand that verse. God has given to every believer the measure of faith. He's given to all of us the Word of God rightly divided. In the Word of God rightly divided, you see the measure of the doctrine that produces in the believer Christ formed in you, the stature of the fullness of Christ. You have the form of sound words. Is this making sense how we're talking about so far? We all have the same measure of faith. It's the Scripture. Okay? So, in the light of this passage, Philippians that we just read, when Paul says, I don't consider myself already perfect, he's not talking about eternal security. He's not talking about the fact that all of his sins are forgiven, things like that. And he says, he doesn't yet count himself already perfect. What does he mean by that? Is he denigrating himself? What's he doing there? He's making an objective evaluation of not only the amount of sound doctrine that's in him, but whether or not in the functioning of his life that he's functioning on that sound doctrine. Does that make sense so far? Keep reading. Notice what he says at verse 15. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, so whatever level of understanding we're at, let us walk by the same rule. What rule? To keep pressing forward. Let us mind the same thing. What? To set our mind on things above. You see the principle there? So let me ask it this way. Would you say that everyone in this room and the folks listening on the internet as well, would you say that every one of us are at the same level of understanding the Word of God by divine and sound doctrine as everybody else? That we're all at the same level? Okay. In saying it, by the way, that's the right answer. That's the correct answer. Okay. In saying it that way, are you therefore exalting yourself above, you know, someone else here and say, oh man, I know way more than that guy sitting next to me, man. No, that's not what's going on here. Neither, let's say you're just brand new to this and so forth, you say, well, man, I just know nothing. These people know everything. No, that's not how you do this. You're making an objective observation and awareness of sound doctrine. That's what you're doing. If you're, let's say you're running a business and you're coming to the end of the year and you've got to reconcile the books, you can be emotional all you want. It's not going to change the numbers. You're either in the black or the red, right? You got to look at it objectively. And so too, the purpose of this little exercise today, having said all that, we simply want to do this. You know, it's the last day of the year. 2024 is right a few hours away. What we want to do is we want to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. We want to take and make a sober evaluation of where we are individually, and then collectively, by the way, because they both are related. But we want to make a sober evaluation of where we are personally in our growth of God's Word, and therefore our level of perfection. Does that make sense how I'm saying that? So think of it this way. And again, think objectively. Don't let your mind right now beat yourself up. Don't let your mind right now look back and say, man, I just blew it this year. I should have done. No. That's all the flesh. That's all the flesh. That's the flesh. Tell your flesh to shut up. Can I say that? Yes, I can. I just did. To think objectively is say, okay, yeah, maybe this last year didn't go quite like I would like for it to have gone. And so if I realize I'm eternally loved in Christ, God's not changing His attitude towards me. He deals me under grace, so I am truly free to evaluate honestly. Not condemn myself, not exalt myself, but to evaluate honestly the situation. You see, and that's what's amazing about living under grace. We really are free to deal with whatever we're going to deal with. You really are free, which it really is amazing. Okay? So, if you find yourself saying, man, yeah, I kind of blew it this last year, I should have done better. Well, don't think of it that way, in the sense of condemning yourself. Rather, think of it this way, okay? Let me ask it this way. How many of us here would say that you are further along in your understanding of Scripture and your appreciation of Scripture now than you were a year ago? How many of you would say? Probably every hand. See, every hand goes up, okay? And that's good. That's an objective evaluation. How many of us here today, and same thing, everybody on the line, you're supposed to be raising your hand. Come on now. I want to see the little hand memes. So how many of us, let's just say a year from now, let's say the rapture hasn't happened and you're still here and so forth, that kind of thing. Would you like to be further along a year from now than you are today? Yeah, all of us. Okay. And that's an objective state. Does that make sense how I'm saying that? I know I keep asking that question, so I got to quit asking the question. Okay, so if when you go from Romans through, you go to Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, those are the churches that he wrote to. So we're not leaving these out per se. But can you see and appreciate that there's edification that's happening here as you're going? What's Romans doing? Romans is laying the foundation. Right? Corinthians first tells you, wow, they got way off track. 2 Corinthians tells you, wow, they're getting back online. You move to Galatians, it tells you, man, did they get bewitched. And they're stuck. Big traffic jam. Of course, it tells them how to get out, right? Focus on Christ crucified. Galatians says, wow, you guys are spiritually strong and you're engaged in the battle. Philippians says, you know what? You are partaking of the grace of God in the midst of the adversary and the persecutions, and you're learning to let Christ be your life. Colossians says, you know what? You're standing steadfast in your faith in Christ while experiencing that great persecution. Thessalonians says, you know what? 1 Thessalonians comes along and says, Paul says, I've given you a clear understanding of Christ coming for us and Christ coming for Israel. Don't let yourself get deceived and turned away. 2 Corinthians comes along and says, what happened? How come you didn't listen to me? Okay? So can you see a progression that's happening there? And my question on the handout, look at that paragraph at the top of the handout. It simply says this. Oh man, it says I got a low battery. Well, folks on the internet, if I lose you on my phone, I'll say goodbye now, okay? Okay, anyway. So it says this. For this last question, it says, think about the various levels of maturity and edification of the members of the different local assemblies that Paul wrote to. That's a run-on sentence. I saw about that, okay? He says, and it's for you personally, which group most accurately describes your current state of edification and maturity? And it's, of course, okay to choose more than one. So let's just go back again. Look, go back with me to the book of Romans. Go back to Romans. Go to Romans 16 here. Look at Romans. Let's just do this very quickly, okay? And we want to give some time to kind of think about this. Romans lays the foundations of grace. That's what the book of Romans does. So by the time you've gone through Romans, you can see, look at Romans 16:25. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul taught them his gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see that? You see how he ends the book there? He's also said before this, look at verse 17. Look at the warning. Verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That they forgot to do when you get to the Corinthians. The Corinthians forgot to do that right there. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So as you come to the end of the book of Romans, you can see that he has laid the foundations of grace. He's reminded them that's how God will establish you in the faith. And be aware that you're always going to face opposition against this message, okay? So when you think of the book of Romans, you think, okay, the ground has been laid and I'm established in the faith. And I want to continue to build on that. Everybody with me so far? Question. You don't have to answer out loud. Are you there? You understand my question? Okay. You come to the Corinthians now, chapter number 1, and you can see very clearly what happened. Go to chapter number 1, verse 11. Verse 10, it says, this now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Does it sound like, if you go from Romans to Corinthians, that, boy, something sure happened to the Corinthians that got them really sidetracked from that verse? And of course, you know what the answer was. The answer is yes, and they got sidetracked because they quit listening to the doctrines that Christ gave Paul for the edification of the body of Christ. They got all those 10,000 instructors, so they got way off track, totally confused, carnal, divided, contentious, and so forth. But when you read 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians. This is a marvelous passage to read and think about along these lines. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 7 here. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. Watch this now. 2 Corinthians 7. I'm going to just jump ahead here. Verse 11, just because of time's sake, 2 Corinthians 7:11, he says, "For behold, the selfsame thing that..." You know what? I got to go back to verse 8. I have to, because you'll see why. It says, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry." Think about 1 Corinthians. He wrote 1 Corinthians. Does it sound like that it had the proper impact on their life from that verse right there? Do you see that? But see how clear that is? You jump further ahead. Now to verse 11. He says, "For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that had suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Do you see here in this passage how Paul makes it very, very clear that even though the Corinthians, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, were all kind of messed up and confused, Titus goes and spends some time with them. He comes back and he tells Paul how they're doing. You can see from a passage like this how the Corinthians had really begun to fix some things. And so you can see that even though in 1 Corinthians they got way off track, carnal, confused, divided, but his information in 2 Corinthians, they were making some wonderful progress, had a lot of work yet to do, but really had kind of turned, as they say, righted the ship, so to speak. Okay, you go to the book of Galatians. You can't help but you think of the book of Galatians, and you can see Galatians chapter 3:1. Galatians 3:1, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath what? Who hath bewitched you?" Look at Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. It says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You see, that's why I say in the Galatians they were stuck. They allowed themselves to be bewitched and got stuck and bound, as it were. The yoke of bondage. And Paul's saying, Christ has made you free. Christ has made you free. You need to take your position in Him. And Christ has made you free. Why are you allowing yourself to be stuck there? Question. Are you there? Hopefully the answer is no. All right. Look at Ephesians. Go to Ephesians, if you would. Look at Ephesians and chapter number 6. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. And you'll notice how it says it here, Ephesians chapter 6. He says, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand and stand against the wiles of the devil." And he talks about the warfare. So when you think about the Ephesians, he built them up into the faith. He'd given them up enough information to help them understand how to be strong in their identity in Christ, and then how to engage in the warfare. Are you there? Look at Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 7. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of God's grace." Yeah, interesting. He doesn't say God's grace there, does he? He said my grace. What do you know from that verse right there about the Philippians? They were not bystanders. They were not sitting in the bleachers. They were engaged. They were partaking of their identity in Christ. They're partakers of God's grace, the grace that Christ gave to Paul. See that? They're partaking of it. They're learning about it. They want to grow in more and more and more in it. He says in chapter number 4, this wonderful passage here, chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And that's what he wanted them to enjoy. So when you think about the book of Philippians here, they were actively partaking of the doctrines of God's grace, and they were learning to find joy and peace and strength no matter what the circumstances. My question is, are you there? Colossians chapter 1. Wonderful passage here. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse 5. Colossians 1, 5. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 5. It says, "For though..." Colossians 1, I'm sorry, it's Colossians 2, verse 5. I'm sorry, Colossians 2, 5. Colossians 2, 5, then he says this. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your what? Your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Were they doing pretty good as far as standing in their standing? You see that? But you can see the great warning. You look at verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you. And he tells them to beware of what specifically? You jump down to verse 16, let no man judge you. He tells them what to be concerned about there. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility, worshiping of angels and true into those things which is not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 19, and not holding the head. Chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see the assurance there? You see the Colossians question. Are you there? Now, what did we just do? Well, we took just a few moments. You could spend, and you know, you could spend years on each of these books, because we've done it, right? But when you just take, you kind of step back and take a kind of a snapshot picture, and we're leaving a lot out, but when you take a snapshot picture of the spiritual maturity and level of each of the groups that Paul wrote those books to, and why he wrote them, and what the letter was designed to reestablish, and what it was designed to correct and everything, you can see clear patterns of edification in each, and levels in each of those groups. So my question is to all of us, to me, where am I? Where are you? And in asking it that way, remember, it's not a condemnation type thing. This is not a beat yourself up. That's not what this is about. That passage that we read in Romans 12, look back at that verse, and then we'll try to wrap it up here. Look back at Romans 12. And before we're done, I'm going to actually ask for volunteers and for you to answer my question. Okay, if you'd like to. Okay, maybe you don't want to, but that's okay. Look at this verse again, Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given unto me. See how he's making this appeal based upon grace? Romans 12, 3. He's making this appeal based upon grace, not based upon the law. So Romans 12, 3 says this. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. So think with a clear mind, a mind filled with sound doctrine, right? So in the light of that sound doctrine, in the light of what Scripture says, then we are to think of ourselves soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's given us all the Word of God, but divided. We all have the same Scripture, the same measuring stick. We know what the objective is, that is spiritual perfection, spiritual maturity. That is, whatever level of sound doctrine is in you right now at this moment, that you're functioning to that level with the intention and purpose and desire to continue to press towards the mark and grow. So my question is, where are you? Are you in Ephesians? Are you an Ephesian? Now, by the way, some will say, man, I don't know if I want to be an Ephesian or a Colossian, because they eventually left, right? And that's true, so don't be that, right? You don't have to leave, even though they left. But where are you? Are you somewhere in Romans, in your understanding? Have you gotten through Romans and then got kind of sidetracked, and now you're kind of back on track like the Corinthians? Are you stuck? How do you get unstuck if you're stuck? Well, you first of all have to recognize, yeah, I'm stuck. Okay? That battle between you know, the legalism of the law and the flesh and who I am in Christ? Or am I an Ephesian? Or am I a Philippian? Coming to see that, wow, Christ is my life. He's my all in all. The one place in all of Paul's epistles when he speaks about the Lord, he calls him my Lord. The only place in all of Paul's epistles that he uses the phrase my Lord. Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is that where we're at? How about the Colossians? The one in Thessalonians, you got to get this one. Look at that last thing. Look at on the handout what it said about the Thessalonians. They were easily shaken and troubled when not relying on God's word rightly divided. Is that you? If you don't rely on God's word rightly divided, you're going to be exactly like the Thessalonians. You're going to be shaken in mind and troubled. See that there? Okay. So my question is, where are you? Does anybody want to take 30 seconds and volunteer? Just where do you think you are spiritually, and what's your intention? Anybody want to? This is going out all over the world, by the way. Go ahead. Go ahead. 30 seconds, just real quick. From there is good. Right there. Right there is good.
I'm new to the church. I've probably been here a year and a half. And my measure of, you know, where I'm at, is that I can now explain to people rightly divided.
Wow. Amen to that. That's awesome. That. Think about just what that means. Thank you so much for having the courage to stand up. Anybody else? Just briefly would like to, no pressure of any kind, but if not, I'm going to start calling on names. No, I'm just joking. Anyone else? Karen, you're ready. Go ahead, Karen. Yes, you. She was... Everybody hear that? See that? You can recognize that. For the folks listening on the internet, she said, wow, I can find myself like the Thessalonians. I know the Word of God rightly divided. I know I got my King James Bible, but when I get away from the Word of God rightly divided, I can sure get my mind shaken and troubled. We can all relate to that. Thank you. Anybody else? How about some of the... Henry, go ahead, sir.
You know what the meaning of the word N-A-B-Y, right? Navy?
Tell me. I'm a Marine, so I know. Anyway,
never again volunteer yourself.
Never again volunteer yourself, he said.
But anyway, in our lives, in my life, you know, oftentimes, you know, you just stagnate sometimes, especially when you're not living close to the Word, getting the Word in your heart and in your inner man. And sometimes you trip. But when you fall, trip and fall, you cannot stand up from other different locations than the location where you
fell. And you fell.
So all you got to do is just get up, get back in the Word. And that's the only way you can work over that spiritual.
Excellent. Everybody understand that? That was good. Yeah, that's very good. Thank you so much, Adam. Garrett, you look like you're ready to tell us spiritually. What do you? Okay, he was left behind sick, he says. So we'll comfort. Everybody's got to come and give him a group hug afterwards, right? So, no. Very good. And Joe, go ahead.
You know, I would just say it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, not myself, through Christ.
Amen. 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 Jared, go ahead. Amen. That's just wonderful. Again, for the folks listening on the internet, what Jared mentioned is as he's going through his classes on medicine and so forth, the pressure just can build up. And you gave that testimony two weeks ago, how precious that was, where you as a young man just have to make that decision to come to the Scripture. Scott, I think you had your hand up, Scott.
Yes, sir. I was just thinking, when we were able to recognize the Word of Truth, our understanding of everything is heightened. preach the gospel, the grace of God to the lost and dying world.
Yes.
And we figure everybody that's not in Christ will go to hell, and we have a dying here that can save somebody from hell and lake fire. It is imperative. I think, like Paul said, woe unto me if I preach my gospel.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I sense that. I mean, because I've been given the truth that's of such great value.
And, amen.
I think under your ministry and a lot of the other preachers that preach the grace message, I think it's opened up my understanding of Scripture like I hadn't seen before, that we are in the dispensation of the grace of God, that God's completed all of us and none of us.
Amen. That's so critical to understand, you know, that chart, very similar to what Eileen mentioned, that to come to understand right division, wow, that opens things up. Ken, go ahead. Now, this is a brave man right here. Ken's going to actually, in front of everybody, say, go ahead, Ken.
As your teaching has shown that sometimes circumstances demand you follow the rabbit trails. And conveniently, there's 7 churches here, and one for every day of the week.
Yeah. Very good, very good. Amen. There we go. Yeah, very good. I'm going to ask one more person if he would mind sharing. He's usually pretty quiet, but he does so much around here, and we kind of behind the scenes. Brother, hasn't Brother Alfonso just been such a blessing to the ministry here, you know? And, yeah. With all the IT stuff and everything, and Brother Alfonso, he is a nice young man, available, ladies. But anyway, Brother Alfonso, would you... What about you spiritually?
I'm like Ken.
Don't be like Ken. No, just.
Go ahead. Ken,
Amar.
Yes. There's different times and different moments. You just have to be graceful with yourself and just focus on Christ.
Wow.
Whether it's financial, it's not that hard, but we overcomplicate it, right?
Well said. Focus on Christ and we overcomplicate it. Well said. Thank you. Well, let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer as we close the last Sunday for this particular year. Isn't that crazy to think about that? So, our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we have been able to spend this last year and in your word, fellowship together here at this local assembly, and then everyone listening online so faithfully, people just continuing to come and enjoy your word. And Father, we ask that we're... like we studied this morning, that wherever we are spiritually, that we would make an objective evaluation of that, not a self-condemnation evaluation, but truly allowing your word to shine the light of your grace upon our spiritual growth and maturity. And then, therefore, to bring about in us, not by us, but in us, that desire to grow more. To grow more in your love for us, in who you are, in your purposes, and the reason that you're doing what you're doing, and why you're doing it, and therefore, and thereby really to stir us up to want to know more about you and about your word. We thank you for your great love and your kindness to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, a marvelous and wonderful Savior. Your scripture says about him that he's altogether lovely. And Father, we know that's how you see him. And Father, we pray and ask that as we grow in your word, that we too would come to see him as you see him, just altogether lovely. We thank you in his precious name. Amen.